Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Wonderful to see all of you here tonight. We're going to open with a prayer right now. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night, thanking thee, O God, that thou hast brought us here once again. We are privileged and honored to be in thy presence, and I pray, O God, that thou would truly be here with us tonight. I pray, O God, that thy spirit would be here tonight. I pray that thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us. Inspire us this night to truly worship thee, to truly give thee our hearts, to be obedient to thy call, to be obedient to thy will. I pray, O God, that thou would show us new and wonderful things here this night. Inspire us, O God, to be more like thee. I pray, O God, that as we worship thee, thou would purge our minds of anything that needs to be purged. I pray, O God, that we would be blessed by thy Spirit. I pray that we would be blessed by thy Holy Ghost here this night. And I pray that thy perfect will would be done. And I ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to start with number 64 in the chorus book here tonight. Bless the Lord, O my soul, number 64. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise God.
We're going to
turn now to number 106 and sing He Is My Everything, number 106.
He is my everything.
Sing He's My Lord and My God, number 130.
Just
Well, why don't we go now to number 72 and sing For He Is Lord, number 72.
For He is Lord, He is Lord, He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. For He is Lord, He is Lord, He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. For He is
go now to number 151 and sing Be Still and Know, number 151.
Be still.
is a wonderful thing to be in the presence of the Lord. Glory to God. We are going to take up the collection now. Matt, would you help us with that, please? Thank you, sir. Praise God. Father in heaven, we thank you this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank you, O God, for thy many blessings. We thank you, O God, that thou hast given us this place where we can come and gather in thy name and worship thee and glorify thy name. And I pray, O God, that thou would continue to lead us, continue to direct us in all things, continue to give us thy wisdoms so that we may know what we must do in the future. We pray, O God, to always be in thy will. And I pray, O God, that thou would direct our disbursement of these funds and all that we do for thy glory, for thy name, for the sake of thy blessed kingdom. And I pray, O God, that thou bless the givers here this night and also bless those who are unable to give. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to sing one more song before we turn it over to Shirley. We're going to go to number 5 and sing Something Beautiful, Something Good. Number 5.
Something beautiful, something good. All of my confusion, Jesus understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something very beautiful of my life. Something beautiful, something good. All of my confusion, Jesus understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something very beautiful of my life. Something beautiful.
To transform our lives. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we are going to turn it over to Shirley for the night and see what God has laid on her heart. Praise God.
Serve a wonderful God. I'm so glad we can acknowledge Him here tonight. Amen. He isn't just a stranger to us. You know, oh yes. He did take us as we were, you know, as pathetic and as hopeless. You know, it's true. We didn't have anything to offer Him. But He took us. And praise the Lord, He breathed upon us. He changed us. He's made us His own. What a wonderful gift we've been given, the gift of eternal life. Praise the Lord. You know, we can thank Him now. Amen. We can praise Him now. Praise the Lord. And it's going to be for all eternity. Amen. I can imagine those praises are never going to stop there when we get home. Because, wow, the gratefulness, you know, to really be there in God's presence. And the things that He has prepared for them that love us, I know it's beyond our imaginations. I know, yes, we go through trials, we go through tribulations here in this world, but the Lord goes with us, and we know that it's just temporary. You know, we're just here for a short time. We notice how quickly time goes, you know. A week passes like nothing, it seems like. The months are disappearing more quickly than you can hardly think, and you know, so it is. Soon another year is here, and you know, till one day it's going to be over. Amen. And you know, at that point, nothing is going to matter except what we did for the Lord. And do we have something to give Him? It's all going to matter at that time, and we want to stand before Him with something to give back. Praise the Lord, we want to be clothed with His righteousness. We don't want to stand there empty. And you know, praise the Lord, He's getting us ready. And you know, it takes, you know, the foolishness of preaching the Word of God to direct us. You know, without the Word of God, we'd all be just floundering around. But praise the Lord, He gave us a roadmap. And we can follow it. It's ever so deep and ever so wonderful, yet it is simple. If we'll just read it and follow it and apply it to our lives, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just thank You, God, that we could come to You here tonight, Lord. We thank You for the prayers that You've answered, God. Thank You, Lord, that You've intervened in our lives. And, oh, God, that we've been able to draw nigh to You, Lord, that You've called us, Lord, and that we could see and understand. Oh, Lord, and You are the hope of our lives, Lord. And I pray, oh, God, that You talk to us here tonight. Pray, oh, God, that, oh, Lord, You'd make Your word clear, Lord, that it would register in our hearts, Lord, that it would move in our hearts, Lord. Oh, God, that You'd, oh, God, make this, oh, Lord, what You'd have us to hear, Lord, in Jesus' name. We stand before Thee, Lord. We know we have needs, Lord. Oh, God. But, Lord, we know that there's nothing too hard for You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. We thank You for the faith that You put in our hearts. I pray, oh, God, that it would grow in us, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, that, oh, God, You would use this word here tonight. Oh, Lord, that You make it grow in our hearts, that You use it for Thy name's sake. Oh, God, oh, Lord. Oh, God, for our exhortation and our admonishment, oh, Lord Jesus, that we might grow in You and take heed to the things that are written and be ready, oh, Lord, when You call. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I do want to say we did have an exciting weekend. We had a brother and sister come from Kentucky, and I love how the Lord prepared their hearts. It was, you know, rather a fast decision, but, you know, I love how they just made haste to come and be baptized, and praise the Lord. We had a wonderful time talking about the Lord, hearing their testimonies and sharing, and I know the Lord worked in them. I know Robert said that he never felt the Spirit of the Lord like that before, as after he came up out of those waters of baptism. And I know the Lord's going to fill them with the Holy Ghost. You know, that's his promise. So praise the Lord. No, it was a wonderful weekend with them, but I do thank God he has answered prayers. I know Brother Matt could attest to that. And you know, we all have seen the Lord move in our lives. You know, the things that we give to him, he knows how to answer, and that's precious. It's really wonderful. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to Isaiah 30 to start here tonight, and we're going to call this message Clothed Upon or Naked. Clothed Upon or Naked. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for his goodness to us. Isaiah 30 here, and reading just a few verses as we begin here tonight. Verse 1, it says, Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me, and the cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. And I think this is so true of the world that we live in today. There's a lot of people that would like to put the name Christian in front of their format or whatever they're doing. They'd like to call themselves a Christian and believe that they are. But there's a question often, have they been clothed upon with the Spirit of God? Are they covered by the Holy Ghost? Do they know the Lord? And are they walking according to his ways? And so often it is that people want to be called by his name. They want to be considered a Christian, but in their hearts they're rebellious. They haven't really given heed to what the Word of God says. They haven't really taken counsel of God. And they try to cover with a covering, but it's not of God's Spirit. And it's because, well, as it tells us in the third chapter of John, that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And if you're willing to come to the light, that your deeds may be made manifest, the Lord's going to work in your heart and you're going to become changed. And you know, you're going to have a love for that light. I know when we initially come to the Lord, it can be rather painful because, you know, there's that past that we've lived in and the world that we've known thus far, and all at once sin is revealed to our hearts, and you know, it's not a pretty thing to think, wow, that's where I've been, that's where I've been going. But what a beautiful thing, because the wages of sin is death. But thank God, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we were all on that path at one point. You know, we were all going towards the lake of fire. But it's only the mercy of God that called us and reached down for us that we might come to him and be clothed with his righteousness. But yet there are so many that, again, they take counsel. They might go to an astrologer for counsel. They might go to a psychiatrist. They might seek out a horoscope, see what the zodiac proclaims in their mind, or that of the soothsayer. And that's largely what some of the Israelites people were doing. They were going down to Egypt. They hadn't inquired of God. They were just going on their own will, and not considering the will of God at all. But going down to them that were soothsayers and that were involved in all kinds of manners of paganisms. but it wasn't good at all. And if that's where our trust is, in our flesh, then it's to our shame, it's to our reproach. You know, they were trusting in the shadow of each of us, like people today often, you know, look to see what the horoscope might say or what the signs may indicate. And, you know, if it's good, I'll do this. Otherwise, I'll refrain. But I'll tell you what, that's not the way that God would ordain his people to walk in. That's fear. Oh, yes, the way of astrology is fear. But praise the Lord puts a spirit in our hearts so that we can be led by God. And he directs our steps so that we can know what we need to do. But here in old Egypt, there were people that trusted in their own strength or that of a soothsayer or an astrologer or someone like that, the shadow of Egypt, to determine what they were going to do and how they were going to think. Oh, I say that again, it was to their shame and to their confusion. I know we don't talk about this too often, but, you know, we turn over to the 8th chapter of Isaiah, the 19th verse, just a few pages over, chapter 8 and verse 19. God wrote and had Isaiah record, "And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto the God?" And there's a question for the living to the dead. That's insanity to go, you know, as a living being to the dead. And then verse 20 says, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." And it explains in verse 21, "And they shall pass through it, hardly bestead and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. And they shall look unto the earth, and behold, trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness." Well, I think that's very descriptive of this world, those that look to Mother Earth for their answers. And, you know, I'll tell you what, it talks about those that, you know, rebel against God, that fret themselves against the ways of the Lord. And, you know, when they pass through, they're hardly bestead, in other words, severely ill-treated and hungry, and, you know, the answers haven't come according to what they thought. And, you know, there are people that look upward, begin to curse God. And then they look unto the earth for the answers. Oh, good old Mother Earth. And I'll tell you what is forthcoming. And oh yes, there are people that are looking for their millennium. They are looking for a restored earth and figuring that somehow they're going to have their utopia here on earth. But I'll tell you what, that's not what is coming forth at all. Instead, it's trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and it says they shall be driven to darkness. Well, that is the plight of those that look to the earth, that look to other gods, oh yes, that rebel against God. Oh yes, because it's in the law and in the testimony, it's in the word of God. And if we don't give heed to that, it's because there is no light in us. But I praise God, I trust that we who are gathered here tonight, and you dear ones online, that it's because the Lord has called you and you've been drawn to the truth. But it's woe unto them that seek unto familiar spirits. So yes, unto wizards that peep and that mutter. Oh yes, it's crazy indeed. Should not people seek to their God? Oh yes, crazy to go as a living to the dead. Oh yes, seeking things that are forbidden by the word of God. But so often that's a case of people who walk this earth at this moment. Let's also go to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. Read a few verses here. Here verse 1 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." Well, I'll tell you what, God is entirely capable of saving. He's totally able to hear, but there is something that separates people from God, and that is sin. I was just looking at that little verse in Habakkuk, the first chapter, where it talks about God, his eyes. It says in verse 13, the first chapter of Habakkuk, "Thou art a pure eyes that behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he?" Oh, I'll tell you what, all the things that are going on in this world, and oh, I'll tell you what, we don't like it if we're living for the Lord. It's hard to bear for us, but so much more God, who is a pure eyes, all that to behold the evil, and he canst not look on iniquity. Oh, by the things that God sees and knows, all the treachery that's going on, and all the forbidden things that they try to do, and all the deceitful things that their tongues declare, all the wickedness that goes before in their lives, and in all their attitudes, says in verse 14 here in this chapter, "And make us men as the fishes of the sea, as the creeping things that have no ruler over them." Oh yes, how they downgrade mankind, and you know how they esteem us not. So many of them, of that so-called up in the upper levels of masonry and all, and they want to catch man. It tells about that in this chapter also in verse 15. "They take up all of them with angle, they catch them in their net and gather them in their drag. Therefore they rejoice and are glad." Oh, how pathetic. "And therefore they sacrifice unto their net and burn incense unto their drag, because by them their portion is fat and their meat plenteous." Oh, they give glory to the objects, those things that bring their prosperity. And these days, there's even a doctrine, a prosperity doctrine, that tries to declare if you're not prosperous, then you couldn't be of God. Well, I'll tell you what, Jesus Christ was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and he didn't have a place to lay down his head. Oh, I know God's people often don't have a lot of God's, of this world's goods, but we have our treasures in heaven. That's where our hearts are, and you know, that's what we're looking for. That city where the Lamb is alive, that's where we're going, and that's where our treasures are. We don't need our treasures here on earth. That's where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But rather we lay our treasures in heaven. Oh yes, that place where moths are not going to be able to corrupt, and thieves are not going to be able to steal, all those things that are enduring. Praise the Lord. But back here to Isaiah 59, all those things that separate us from God is iniquities that separate between you and your God, and sins. It says in verse 2, "Your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." Oh, he doesn't want to look on that. Oh, that rebellion in the heart is going to separate you from God. And then it describes the people, and I'm afraid it sounds a lot like mankind here in this day in which we live. "For your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Oh, verse 5 says, they hatch cockatrice eggs like a viper or a snake, and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth. Oh, it's a poison unto their souls. Oh, there's eternal death that's going to follow those that are so, oh, confused and involved. And that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. All the lies that people believe, all the end result is death. And that's what they try to do. They try to convince mankind, womankind, of, you know, all things that they want people to know or think they want to know. And it could be just plain opposite from real truth. But there they are. It's like they've woven a spider's web. And it tells us clearly in verse 6, their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Well, that's not good at all. But that isn't going to work if you're just covering yourself with the things of this world, with lies, with vanity, the works of man, the works of iniquity, the acts of violence. Oh, I'll tell you what, that's likened unto a spider's web at this point. And people trying to clothe themselves with it. Well, it tells us clearly, it's not going to work. Oh, God sees through it. That righteous God, he sees through it. Oh, yes, just going to a couple verses in Hebrews 4 here for a moment. Talks about the Word of God. Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verse 12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Oh, the Word of God that cuts through, that sees through everything. Nothing missed at all. The powerful Word of God. And then verse 13 says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. Oh, it's all going to be revealed in the sight of God, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Oh, yes, he sees through every conniving lie, oh, every plot, every plan that the enemy might try to conjure up. God sees through their evil hearts. That discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Oh, yes, there is no creature that is not manifest or revealed in the sight of God. But in God's sight, everything is naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Oh, praise the Lord. There is a covering that we need. All those that try to appear righteous by their own wicked works. And we know there's many people like that. You know, there's Shriners, for example, with their charity hospitals and their marches and parades and their rides on the camels and everything else that they try to show on the surface. But God knows what they are like on the inside and or what they say in those rooms behind the scene, and when they plot and when they plan and they speak evil and try to do mischief against even the people of God. God sees beyond the surface things, the things that they try to do to conceal what's deep inside their hearts. And I'll tell you what, when Jesus came to this world, it was much like that. Well, there were those that did receive him, thank the Lord, but so many of them couldn't understand that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Anointed One. They didn't get it. And they openly rejected him. And among the worst of that were the scribes and the Pharisees. The 23rd chapter of Matthew describes how Jesus saw their inside parts, the things that, were deep within that they tried to hide. Oh, yes, they tried to make themselves as one that was holy and, one that had honor, and one that was religious and all those kind of things. But the Lord Jesus saw through everything that they tried to do. We look at Matthew 23, it says in verse 13, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against man. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in." Verse 14, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation." Oh yes, they appeared to be holy on the outside, and they would make prayers to be seen a man. They would fast openly to be seen a man. But Jesus Christ saw through all that. Verse 15, he said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself." And on it goes in this chapter. And in verse 27, he said unto them, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are in within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness." Oh, yes. Full of decay and rot. That's how Jesus Christ saw them. On the outside, they tried to look beautiful, like a whited sepulcher. And it says in verse 28, "Even so ye outwardly appear righteous unto man, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." Oh, that's how Jesus saw them. And this whole chapter pretty much cries out against their hypocrisy and all the pretenses that they were trying to make. And so it is today. God sees beyond, oh yes, the Word of God, the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, every creature being manifest in the sight of God, and how it is that we need to be clothed with something that's greater than a web, oh, something that's enduring. We need to be clothed with the righteousness of God. We need a covering. And if we go to the third chapter of Genesis, realize there was a point there, that third chapter, when sin entered into this world. And we know the story, how that serpent was more subtle than any of the other beasts of the field, and how he came to Eve and spoke with her. I don't know if this was the first time he had a conversation with her, or if it was, the 1,000th time. But this time, he was trying to entice her in such a way that she most likely never been enticed before. And he said unto her in the first verse, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." And I'm not sure that those were all the details that God said. I know in the second chapter, God had told Adam that, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. But anyway, Eve is referring to that in her speech to the serpent, who was actually Satan personified. It tells us in verse 4, "And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Oh, he was appealing to her flesh, you know, and appealing to pride and to wisdom, you know, and saying, you're not going to really die. God knows you're not really going to die, but your eyes are going to be opened, and you're going to be as gods. Oh, wow, that was, you know, pretty compelling there, you know, and you're going to know good and evil. Well, at this point, she didn't know what this evil was. He had only known God. God had put them in that perfect garden, and everything was good, and sin had not yet come into the world, and they didn't know what sin was. So here it was, she was being enticed. And again, I say, most likely in a way that she never had been enticed before. And the woman looked at that tree, and she noticed it was good for food. It was pleasant to the eyes. A tree to be desired, to make one wise. And, you know, well, why not? Just seemed like there was no excuse why not to take it. All those positive reasons to partake of it. She was deceived. She took up a fruit thereof, and she did eat. And then she also gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat too. And all at once there was a realization. Oh, sin had entered into the world now. And it tells us in verse 7 here in Genesis 3, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. All at once they realized they were unclothed, but they had no garments on, and here they were. They didn't know what to do, so they tried to cover themselves their own way. They tried to sew fig leaves together so they would have an apron upon their body, on their person. And back then, oh, that perfection of the Garden of Eden, God would come and walk with them in the cool of the day. The 8th verse tells us, and they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Oh, they were trying to hide now. They'd never tried to hide before, but all at once, they didn't want to see God. They were afraid. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Oh, they were unclothed. And all at once, fear came into their hearts. And they were afraid to behold in God. They were afraid to walk with him. And they were trying to hide. God said to them in verse 11, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Of course, all those excuses. The man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat, and on it went. So those curses came into the world. Sin had entered into the world, and now there were curses. That serpent was cursed above all cattle, and oh, committed to go down upon his belly and eat the dust for all the days of its existence. And that woman was given great sorrow in conception, and in sorrow she would bring forth children. Her desire would be unto her husband, and he would rule over her. And unto Adam it was given that because he had hearkened unto the voice of his wife and had eaten of that tree of which he had been commanded not to eat of, the ground was going to be cursed for his sake. And in sorrow he's going to eat of it all the days of his life, and thorns and thistles were going to grow and come forth. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field, it says in verse 18. And verse 19 says, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Yes, death had entered into the world. Oh yes, God did not just blow them over immediately. They didn't die flat dead at the moment. But oh yes, cells within their body begin to die off. And there would be that day that they would return to the dust from which they were taken. And verse 20 says, and Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And unto Adam also, and to his wife, to the Lord made coats of skin and clothed them. See, now there was a difference. Sin had entered into the world and all the consequences. There was fear now because they were afraid to behold in God because of the sin, because they were naked. They were no longer clothed upon. They didn't have anything to hide upon. You know, it was all, you know, up in the open. And God had to cause the death of some creatures in order for their skins, to give them apparel, to give them something to wear. Oh. And you know, the sad thing, you know, God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, in verse 22, to know good and evil. And it's like he was speaking to the angels here. The angels, I believe, at this point, knew good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Oh, yes. Oh, they could not eat of the tree of life. Oh, they wouldn't want to live in their sin. Because that is what would have happened if they would have partaken of that tree of life. But praise the Lord, in the midst of all these curses and all this sorrow and all this trouble, oh yes, it would be that beautiful paradise anymore, but now there were curses, and Adam was going to have to till the ground by the sweat of his brow. But in the midst of all of this, God gave them a promise. Verse 15, there's a promise that God brought forth. He said in verse 15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Oh, he was talking to that serpent, which was Satan himself personified. Oh, there was going to be a wall put between the serpent and the woman, between her seed and God's seed. And there was a time that the heel would be bruised. Jesus on the cross. But on the other hand, the head of the serpent, the head of Satan, would be bruised, and it would be fatal. And I thank God for that. There was a promise at this point that there would be a Savior, somebody who would come to redeem them from these circumstances that they were now involved in, this new world that had come upon them because of sin. The promise of a Savior would bruise the head of Satan. Praise the Lord, and praise the Lord, that day came when Jesus Christ came into this world, and praise the Lord, he redeemed his people. Oh yes, he paid that price for our sins. And you know, as it tells us in 1 Peter, the first chapter, verse 18, praise the Lord, it says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Oh, praise the Lord, the Savior who came into this world to bruise the head of Satan. Praise the Lord, and our redemption is not because he bought us with silver and gold, but it was with his own precious blood that he shed freely for us. That Lamb of God who was without blemish and without spot, who did no sin, And oh, whose ways were perfect, who put himself under his own law and kept him. Oh, what a wonderful gift we've been given. We turn to Ephesians, the first chapter, and look at a verse here. Ephesians, the first chapter, and actually a few verses here, looking at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Oh, what a gift he gave us. Oh, that he would call us forth. He would predestinate us even, that we would be his own sons and daughters according to his own good pleasure. And he has made us accepted in the blood. Beloved, he has accepted us, which is wonderful. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. He has made us acceptable so that we can come unto his throne of grace and find mercy. And verse 7 explains, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Oh, the wonderful gift that he has given us. And praise the Lord, we turn to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, for a bit here. There we also know that there was a great price paid for our salvation, to redeem us, to purge us. Oh, under the old law, that blood of bulls and goats was just not sufficient to take away sins permanently. It was just a temporary sort of thing that would help and purge the sins that were past. But there was one who came. Oh yes, it tells us in verse 7 here, in Hebrews 10, verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Prophecy that was written in the 40th chapter of Psalms. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. He took away that first covenant that was that of the law, to bring forth a new covenant in his blood, that would permanently take care of our sin and make us acceptable before a holy God. It says in verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified, we are made holy through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And it talks about under the law, in verse 11, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. Oh, they did it again and again. Every time they sinned, they had to try to make some kind of atonement for their sin. And it was just always needed to be done again, and never enough. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting he'll his enemies be made his footstool all the time of the judgment. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He has made us whole. He has perfected his children, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, And in their minds will I write it. Oh, yes, it was recorded in Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, Ezekiel, the 36th chapter. He's going to put his law into the hearts of his people. And into their minds he was going to write them. And then, verse 17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Oh, thank God we come to him like we are. Oh, in our misery, in our sin. Oh, yes, with nothing good to say about our past in reality. But praise the Lord, he's given us that ability to come to him in repentance, to cry out to him for mercy, knowing that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise the Lord, he made the command that we go down in the waters of baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Oh yes, so that those sins are completely, totally paid for. No more offering for sin. Praise the Lord, and with the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, his Spirit that he puts within us. Oh yes, that sanctifying Spirit. And therefore, in verse 19, it tells us, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord, now we can enter into that place that only the high priest could enter in once a year there, that place behind the veil. Oh yes, and they had to be so careful that they did it properly. But we can enter into that place. Oh yes, because we can go directly to our God. Knowing that, oh, he is there. He is waiting. He's desiring to hear the cries of our hearts. Oh, he has long patience until he receives the early and the latter rain. We have that boldness to enter into that place that was concealed in the times of the past, behind that great thick veil that separated the holy place in the tabernacle from the holiest of holies. And praise the Lord, if by a new and living way, it tells us in verse 20, which he had consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And then it says in verse 21, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Oh, praise the Lord, that's what he did for us. He cleansed us from all unrighteousness. He forgave us for all those filthy things that we had done. That evil conscience was sprinkled with his pureness, with his holiness, and our bodies washed with pure water. Oh, praise the Lord, we went down in the water of baptism, and we came up with a conscience that was pure because we had been forgiven our trespasses and our sins. Praise the Lord. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he's faithful that promised. Oh, that's the graciousness of our God. But praise the Lord, that need to be clothed. If we look into the book of Revelation, we see that there is a garment that the Lord gives to his people. Going to the 7th chapter of Revelation. And here in that 7th chapter, we see that the Lord is sealing his people. And I believe, you know, there are certain things until, you know, he puts that seal upon his people. And, you know, when you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, we are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, as it tells us in Ephesians, the 1st chapter, I believe it's verse 13. We're sealed in our foreheads. And here he talks about the 144,000. I believe that it indicates the completeness of the family of God. That point when all have come to that place where those that are his have been sealed for eternity. And after this is done, it tells us in verse 9 in the 7th chapter of Revelation, as John is beholding this and this vision that the Lord is given him, it says in verse 9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb. Oh, praise the Lord, they were clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Oh, praise the Lord. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God. Oh, you want to know what's going on in heaven? I believe there's worship. Those that are crying out, those that have been redeemed, the children of the Lord, clothed with white robes. Oh, praise the Lord, falling before the throne of God and worshiping our holy God, saying amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Oh, praise the Lord. All of it is due His glorious name, His glorious person. Oh, praise the Lord. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. It says in verse 13, and one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And John, he's seeing this, and he says in verse 14, and I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And then it comes the answer, and he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, praise the Lord. We weren't redeemed with corruptible things, just silver and gold from our vain conversation, received by tradition from our fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb. Oh, without blemish and without spot. Oh, that's what gets us to that place. That's what gives us that white robe. Oh, you know, those that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, they've been made white in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, what a wonderful gift of salvation He gives to His people. And as it tells us in the first chapter of Isaiah, it's a couple of verses here. Verse 18, it says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Praise the Lord, that's what He does for us. Though we had all that heaviness upon us, we had all the sins that we had committed, and they were red as scarlet. Oh, it seemed so impossible to get rid of those sins. Red like crimson, but praise the Lord, there was one that came to this earth, that precious Lamb of God, who came to redeem us, to wash us with His own blood. Praise the Lord. So that those sins, which be as scarlet, were made as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And it says, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. That's what He did for us. And there in the 7th chapter of Revelation, there are those that came out of great tribulation, and all they that are godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Oh, this is not an easy road that we're living in. Yes, we enter in at the straight gate and the narrow way, because the broad way leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But praise the Lord, we can enter in at the straight gate. We can walk that highway of holiness the Lord has prepared for His people. Yes, we will come out of great tribulation, but praise the Lord, He has washed us clean. He has washed our sins. and taken them from us and given us that garment, all that white linen garment that he clothes us with, that they were clothed with here. Oh, yes, here in the seventh chapter of Revelation. Yes, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them, O the Lord, with us for all eternity, forever to be. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's what it means to have your garment washed white in the blood of the Lamb. Praise the Lord. And now going to the 19th chapter of Revelation. Here in this chapter we see that God has judged the great whore. And oh, what a victory it is. Oh yes, those that are in heaven, oh yes, see and understand, saying, hallelujah, there in verse 1, chapter 19 of Revelation. Hallelujah, or hallelujah. Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication and avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, hallelujah. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And he tells us in verse 4, and the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God and sat on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah. Oh, that worship, that continued praise to the King of kings and Lord of lords. The voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. Verse 6 says, and I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, all the redeemed of the Lord, that great multitude. Yes, are we in that great multitude? As a voice of many waters, oh, it's a great multitude. And oh, they are all together rejoicing and praising our God. As a voice of many waters, as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. It tells us in verse 8, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. And then it tells us, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Oh, it's not the righteousness of our own. Oh, no, it's not of any good that we could do of ourselves. Our own righteousness, we know, is as a filthy rags. Oh, yes, it's something that fades. It's something that, oh, it doesn't amount to anything but vanity. But praise the Lord Jesus clothes upon his people that garment of his righteousness, so that one day we can stand before him and be clothed and praise the Lord. Here it is, the marriage supper of the Lamb. It says in verse 9, and he saith unto me, right blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So there was one that was telling him these things who was actually a fellow servant and of the brethren that have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And then in verse 11, John saw the heaven opened. And there he had a vision of Jesus Christ coming back Oh, yes, here he comes. Praise the Lord, our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords. This moment that we've been waiting for, folks. Here he comes. The heavens open, and here he comes. Behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Oh, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Oh, praise the Lord. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Oh, the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. As it tells us in John, the first chapter. Oh, we see the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, the first time he came to seek and to save those which are lost. Now he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming back to judge this world. Oh, this is the final end of this world and all of that. And here he comes. Oh, his eyes are as of a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. Oh, the crowns that he's going to give to his people. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Clothed with a vesture, a garment that was dipped in blood. Oh, he who knew no sin but became sin for us. His name is called the Word of God, that Word that was made flesh. Praise the Lord, that sharp two-edged sword that's going to divide everything asunder that's not in him. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Oh, praise the Lord, those that have gone on to be with the Lord. And I believe we're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air at this point and so ever be with the Lord. And here we come, all those armies that are in heaven, those that are caught up to be with the Lord upon those white horses. And what are we clothed with? We're clothed upon the righteousness of God, that fine linen. That fine linen, white and clean, praise the Lord. Oh, that righteousness that he gives us. We could never deserve it. Oh, it's not any works of righteousness which we have done. Oh, but by his mercy he saved us. Praise the Lord, he's redeemed us, even from the foundation of the world. But here we are tonight to give him praise, to give him glory, to give him our hearts, to stand up for the things, oh yes, that he requires of us to walk this way that he has called us to walk. But oh, there's this moment when it's all over, all the moments, oh yes, that we are waiting for when our Savior returns to this earth. Oh yes, this time on a white horse. Oh, as faithful and true, as a conqueror, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it tells us in verse 15 here in this 19th chapter of Revelation, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Oh, he's going forth. And now it's time to judge. He's going to laugh at those that have mocked at him and had tried to become gods. And, oh, yes, have corrupted their lives and the lives of many others. Oh, God is coming back with that rod of iron to rule and to reign. Oh, yes, to take vengeance upon them that know not God. And have tread upon his mercy and his grace. Oh, here he comes in judgment, in fierceness, in wrath. Oh, like none of us have ever seen him. And I'll tell you what, we better be right in his sight. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to behold in him. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, our God is coming back. Praise the Lord, he is reigning, oh, on high, and he's coming back for his people that he has purchased with his blood, those that he has clothed with his garment of righteousness, pure and white. Oh, praise the Lord, so that we can stand before him and be clean. Oh, praise the Lord, those that he has redeemed out of every kindred and tongue and people. Oh, what a day of rejoicing that is going to be. Oh, that great multitude that is in heaven. Oh, yes, that no man can number. So we stand among them. Oh, yes, praising and worshiping our God in his holiness. Oh, the awesome, respected. Oh, God, he so deserves. Oh, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. Turning here to Revelation 3. As Jesus, through the spirit of prophecy, is addressing the seven churches here. In this third chapter, we're going to look at verse 14 a bit, that which is addressed to the church of the Laodiceans. There wasn't too many good things he could say. Oh, yes. Verse 14, Revelation 3. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Oh, I tell you what, it's needful to be on fire for the Lord. Oh, that zeal that he gave us when we first came to him, we need that zeal now. We don't ever want to be caught lukewarm. We don't want to be caught cold. But we need to be on fire. We need to be hot. And there, at the judgment seat. Oh, it says in verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I'll tell you what, so many people don't realize they might try to cover their own works with their own righteousness, but it's not going to stand. When Almighty God comes into the scene and they stand before him, oh, once the judgment seat of Christ, those that think, oh, yes, I'm okay. Oh, I'm a good person on the surface, you know. I compare myself to other people. I haven't done this, I haven't done that. But they don't know how God sees them. Oh, thinking I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Don't you know how you really are? Knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You don't have any garments on. You're not clothed with this garment of righteousness. Oh, what a terrible moment. Oh, we have to stand before him with that garment of righteousness being washed in his blood. Oh, yes, sealed with his Holy Spirit of promise. Praise the Lord. Verse 18 tells us, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Oh, yes. Oh, the things of this world are not the things that make us rich, but it's the things that we do for the kingdom's sake, the things that we do for God that make us rich. Oh, we buy that gold that's been tried in the fire, the things that are proven true by the word of God. That's what we need to buy, the words of eternal life, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. Oh, yes, we have to have that white raiment and be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Oh, yes, what a shameful thing, all that nakedness. And I tell you what, you know, he used that in the Garden of Eden. Oh, yes, they had to be clothed upon. That nakedness had to be covered. And I'll tell you what, in this world that we live today, that physical nakedness that people walk around in, you know, their short mini skirts and those tight pants that, and women that, you know, are so revealing, and necklines that are very inappropriate. I'll tell you what, God sees that as nakedness. And I'll tell you what, it indicates the depravity of the heart. Oh, I'll tell you what, he wants us, oh yes, to walk with him in his ways and to do his will. Oh yes, to do the things that are right in his sight. Oh yes, because that day is come when it's all going to be manifest and we're going to all be in front of the throne of God for the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things that were done in our lifetime. And oh yes, we don't want to be full of regret and remorse and sadness. We don't want the shame of our nakedness to show, but we must be clothed upon with His garment. Oh yes, His righteousness. Oh, praise the Lord. And oh yes, it's only because of what He's done for us and the salvation that He has made possible for us. So that He would redeem us, that we could come to Him as sinners. Oh, in our willful disobedience, but we can come to Him if we will humble ourselves. Oh yes, and bow before Him in repentance and give our hearts to the Lord. Yes, praise the Lord, obeying Him to be baptized in the waters of baptism with the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord, He clothes us with that garment of His righteousness. Oh, praise the Lord, but without it, we're not going to make it. Well, I'll tell you what, in the 22nd chapter of the book of Matthew, I'll tell you, there was a man that refused to put on the wedding garment. And I'll tell you what, he was cast out in utter darkness. Oh, that place where there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But praise the Lord, if we go one more place, Psalms 132. Praise the Lord, our God has clothed His people. Oh, we are kings and priests unto God. It tells us in Revelation, the first chapter, and here in Psalms 132, verse 16, oh, the word says, I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. Oh, praise the Lord, the garment of His righteousness that He puts upon us when He redeems us from our sins and our trespasses. It makes us alive in Christ. Oh yes, we become that new creature in Christ Jesus. All things, oh God, thank the Lord, they're gone. And all things become new. But it says in verse 17, there will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed. But verse 18, his enemies will I clothe with shame. But upon himself shall his crown flourish. Oh, the one that is coming. Oh, yes, with his garment dipped in blood, with those crowns upon his head as he comes on that white horse with his people following. Oh, yes, coming to judge this world. But the priests of God, and we are kings and priests unto God. We are intercessors in this new covenant plan of salvation. He has clothed us with salvation. And praise the Lord, her saints shall shout aloud with joy. Praise the Lord. We've got something to rejoice about because He has made a way for us. Oh yes, He has given us a garment so that we can be clothed upon and not naked. Oh yes, that the shame of our nakedness would not appear, but rather that we would be clothed upon with that garment of the Lord's righteousness. Praise the Lord, pure and white. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, talk to our hearts, Lord. Help us, Lord. Oh, God, as we are pilgrims and strangers in this world, help us, Lord. Clothe us with thy righteousness. Oh, God, that we would not appear before thee. Oh, God, naked and with shame. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Praise the Lord. His saints shall shout with joy. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Well, in closing tonight, we're going to open our hymnals and turn to number 18 and sing The Solid Rock.